episode 34 of the Hype and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Roger Kirby, and with me, as always, this Saturday evening is Mr. Stephen Rudkin.
Good evening, Roger, on this wet British evening. We've got another game over here this weekend, and looking forward to another weekend of football.
Yeah. That is the noise for this weekend's game. Ugh.
What a beauty they've sent over to us once more.
Yeah, that'll capture the UK's imagination.
It sure will. Bortles getting sacked 15 times. And,
well, the Bills, yeah, Bills not being able to throw out any players.
Yeah. Should be a good one. So, yeah, we're going to round up last week's action, week six. We're into week seven already. And how's your week been?
Work crazy. A little bit more work tonight to do. I'm surrounded at the moment because I got absolutely soaked at golf. Surrounded in my office by just wet golf clubs, gloves, hats, scarves, you name it. It's wet. So, I've got to sort that out at some point. I've got a little bit of work to do tonight. So this one's going to be short and sweet. Yourself, in terms of the week?
The usual. Seem to be on the wrong time zone at the moment, so it makes the days a little bit difficult when you end up staying up till 1 or 2 a.m. Always catching the start of the games like Monday and Thursday, but then falling asleep. You stayed awake all night to watch it and fall asleep 10 minutes in.
Yeah. It's a nightmare. Half one is about the limit I can go to, quarter two.
But this is the last weekend of our British summertime.
It is, so games are starting at 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, they change tonight. So that 5 o'clock is the 1 o'clock Eastern games. And then it means the late night game starts at midnight rather than one. So. Yeah.
Which kind of helps, but doesn't help because, you know, you've got to get up Monday morning, so what can you do?
This is true.
Right, so we're going to throw it over to yourself to recap the week six results, and then we'll come back and we'll address some more business.
Here are your week six classified results for our Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Leagues. Starting off in the Move the Sticks League, Bias Industries took down I've Made a Huge Mistake 92-88 to move to 5-1 and send the Mistakes down to 2-4. Rudders Niners won this week with an 83-78 win over Old Man Strength. The Niners handing Old Man Strength and Wyatt's team to its first loss of the season. New York Bozo lost out to Tony and the Playmakers, 90-96. All of Tony's trades helping him to get back in the win column and move to 2-4. The D-Train got back on the tracks with a second win in a row, 108-81 over Carl and Scratch and Sniff. The D-Train now sit 4-2, the top of Division 1. The Fanatics and Jeff, with 65 points, lost out to Anthony and the Eskimo Bros database from down under with 90 points. The Eskimo Bros now sit tied in Division 2 with Scratch and Sniff at 3-3. Finally, in the Move the Sticks League, the Dambiago Lagers got a win 101-88 over the Cowboy Crusaders. The Lagers now sitting at 3-3 in Division 3. Moving on to the Hall of Lame League, and the future Hall of Lamers blew out the Macclesfield Mannings 150-84, sending a second loss of the week to Rogers' teams from myself. The Real American Americans team scored 94 points but lost out to Bootzilla with 112 to get back into the win column and move back into first place in Division 3 at 4-2. Tony's Intimidators, 113-91 over Forest Green Army, who sit at the bottom of the league at 1-5. Magician's Alliance won for a second time in a row, 109-100 over Gronk If You're Horny, to top Division 1 at 4-2. Henrik's Stockholm Stiff Arms pulled out a win, 75-69 over Anthony Down Under and the unruly Moustache. The Stockholm Stiff Arms are now 2-4, with the Moustache still topping Division 2 at 4-2. G-Men lost out in a close one, 83.88-84.74, to Zach Stacy's Mom. Zach Stacy's Mom now at 3-3 in Division 3. Moving on to the Pipe and Slippers League. The Negatrons thumped the X Factors, 120-83. The Honey Badgers beat out the One Cheddars in a close one, 116-113. The Honey Badgers sit 5-1 atop of the Pipe Division. Silent Assassin won out, 101-83 over Sharkies 1 from Down Under. The Sharkies sitting at 1-5 in Division 3. Lombardi Slap won to move to 4-2 with a 116-108 win over It's Like Giving Candy to a Baby, who sit at 3-3. Gronk If You're Horny lost in this league as well to cap off a bad week for James, 110-123 against the Compromised Underpants. The Compromised Underpants now 4-2 and the second seed in the Slippers division. Finally, Kenny and his Deflated Footballs won 104-68 over Crunch Time. The Footballs are at 500 now on the season in the tough division, in the Slippers division, sitting bottom of that division at 3-3, but Bruce and Crunch Time sadly sit at 1-5, the 12th seed overall. And that's your results roundup for week 6 of our Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Leagues. Back to you, Roger.
Thank you for that, Stephen. I'm going to ask it again. Was it a good one?
Not my best. It was short and sweet, I hope. Not quite sure how everybody's taken these results sections. Any feedback, greatly appreciated. You can hit me a line at Stephen Rudkin on Twitter, or the podcast itself on @pipe_slippers. We've added in this little segment this year, and I think it speeds things up and allows us to deviate and go wandering on our talk for the rest of the half hour. But yeah, any comments, feedback, suggestions would be much appreciated. So I don't know how they're working out for you, Roger.
I quite like them. I think it's a nice little synopsis of the three leagues. It's not too long. I think the problem can be a little bit is sometimes if we go into the games and stuff, what we tend to do is we go on and on and on, and this thing will end up lasting 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. And no one in the right mind wants to listen to me or you for 5 or 6 hours, but also, to be fair, we probably enjoy talking for 5 or 6 hours. But yeah, you get the gist of where I'm coming from on that one.
I have to say I have been dropping the odd bias towards my results in there, the little subtle comment about how my records are doing all right. 14-4 across all three leagues. Just slip that one in there. So I'll try not to keep them too biased, but I often feel myself having a go at Tony every week. So no hard feelings, Tony, just usual trash talking banter. Anyway, to cap off week 6, I have some award nominations for you to choose from.
Let's do this.
Moves of the week in the Move the Sticks League. It's Big Bro. Quarterback change last week. Slipped in Colin Kaepernick. Gambled. And last week it paid off. What did he get 22.6 last week in that win against Baltimore. His other quarterback choice is Russell Wilson. So he obviously had a bit of a tough one up there against Carolina. So that move by Rudder's Niners. Then the other moves in the Move the Six League, basically it's summarised as Tony's trades. Obviously that epic week of trades for Tony. So he got a win last week playing a lot of his new players. Calvin Johnson, Duke Johnson, Barnage and Carson Palmer. Let's just clump it all into one. Hall of Lame League, bit of kicker love here.
Yeah.
Henrik, Stockholm Stiff Arms, picking up and playing Robbie Gould in that shootout in Detroit. He got 14 points, and in a close game, that was the winning difference, you could say. And then yourself in the Pipe and Slippers League. That week trade, you managed to swap Jonathan Stewart.
Did.
Brandon Cooks, and you played against the Cheddars that week and resulted in a win.
Kind of proved to be the difference.
It did. Stewart got 20 points, Cooks got 4, and that took the Honey Badgers to 5-1. So there are your move nominations.
So I'm going to discount myself. Although it was a nice move, because I think there were better moves made. I think the Colin Kaepernick move by your bro to bring him in on a week against a really, really soft defence in the Ravens, which you can't quite believe you're saying that and it's coming out of your mouth. Obviously, that has bitten him in the bum this week with a stat line of 124 yards passing, no rushing yards, and 4.96 fantasy points, which is just crazy when you think that Cap is you know, what should be the epitome of a run-around quarterback. Although we're going to keep it short and sweet, we are going to talk a little bit of Niners at the back end of this. But I would say Tony with the trades, and my rationale for that is that I love the fact that he was getting cross about not being able to, you know, move forward, not progress as much as he wanted, you know, things not going according to plan. So he took action into his own hands and you know, moving this person around, moving that person around, and for it to then pay off, I think it's, you know, it's kudos for having the onions to go out and do this. So I'd have to say it's Tony.
Yeah, well done on your cleaning house and starting again. A few of the NFL teams might be doing such things in the next 12 months.
Yeah, because I think it's tough to do as well when people know that you are in sort of fire sale mode. Because you're trying to bet yourself, but you're sometimes having to sacrifice two decent players to get the one player you think is going to make a difference. And there's a reason that you're initiating that trade, because you can see an upside in somebody else, and you've got to hope that somebody might see an upside in the person that you've got. So a bit like the Lynch and Hilton trade that me and your bro did, which was... you know, Seattle Lynch is coming up a hamstring injury. I mean, I know he's ended up having a really big night, you know, on Thursday, but I just felt luck probably come better. You know, if he is their number one target, they're going to have to go deep eventually to start scoring some points. So it's the beauty is in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
It is indeed. So well done, Tony. And moving on to the I've Made a Huge Mistake Award. Move the Sticks. We have Jeff, the Fanatics. He was playing against Anthony. He, what did he do? He benched Aaron Rodgers. Let me just get this right 1 second. Yep, benched Aaron Rodgers.
Why would you ever do that? Ever?
He played Eli Manning against the Eagles, so... You can understand that Manning, of all weeks, that could be a good week in terms of they often could be a high scoring, get a lot of possession type.
But the Eagles game. Have been a frisky defense.
Yeah. So, and Rodgers ended up with 19.6.
That's the thing is, even when Rodgers throws interceptions, he's going to throw touchdowns and throw for a ton of yards.
And 14 rushing yards for number 12. So. That was Jeff, benching Rodgers.
Jeff,
Moving on to the Hall of Lame, Joe and the G-Men added and played Shane Vereen, dropping David Johnson to his flex. Real little fine one, but Vereen got 0.6, David Johnson got 1.7. Tiny difference, but made that change, and he would have won if he hadn't. Not the most dramatic change, but in the results are
subtle, and you know, can be the difference, you know.
Two more almost bigger changes. We have in the Pipe and Slickers League, Tony, he benched Starks ahead of his best week of the season, obviously getting 23 points, running wild. He benched Starks, but played Ahmad Bradshaw. So obviously thought Bradshaw would come back and do something first game in, but a bit of a mistake there from Tony. And finally, Bruce.
Bruce!
Aussie
pal.
Adopted Aussie. the crunch time, they lost once more, 1-5. He benched Golden Tate, for Brandon Coleman at his flex position. Coleman got nothing on Thursday night, and Tate got 10. So there are your four mistakes.
Right, I think we all know where I'm going with this. When you draft Aaron Rodgers as the number one quarterback off the board in fantasy, the number one quarterback in real footballing life on the planet, potentially could go down as one of the all-time greats. Why would you then play the matchups with him? I just don't understand. Because you've drafted him high, you've had to probably sacrifice a number one running back or a number one wide receiver to get him. And then you're playing the matchups?
And I don't really like that matchup either, because the Chargers' defense isn't anything to fear.
The back end is okay. There's no real pass rush up front, have they?
No. I mean,
I just think it was an odd. I just think it's really, really odd. I don't get it.
Yeah, if you had to play any matchups, it wouldn't have been that one. But yeah, so Jeff and the Fanatics.
It's a big fan. Made a huge mistake, I'm afraid.
Well done, Jeff.
I made a huge, tiny little mistake.
So, that's the awards for week 6 rounded up. We are moving into week 7. We aren't playing this week, are we?
No, we are next week, because I am currently racking my brain to think of what is not going to be overstepping the mark in terms of giving dogs abuse.
Right.
Well, basically, we've been doing, you know, to let the listeners in the Pipe and Slippers League, we've been doing videos, short videos, which have been pretty well received. More and more people are now getting involved. Which is fantastic. And to be fair, you've probably been winning it so far, I would say. Yours have been sort of subtle, laid back.
That's what Anthony, you know, said on Twitter.
Amusing. Although I have to say that I did enjoy Anthony just giving it the beans with a, you know, full on frontal language, which is kind of right up sort of my alley. So, you know,
speaking of beans, how are those arm curls coming along?
They are. I mean, my right arm is massive, but that might be due to being married. So it's a little bit of a masturbation joke for you.
Thanks for the clarification then.
Anyway, before this really does go off the rails, yeah, as I say, the videos have been great. So yeah, it's just trying to think of what's poignant, I think. You know, because we're good friends. We value each other's friendship. Well, I certainly value yours. I hope that's reciprocated. The silence is a little bit worrying at the moment, I'm not going to lie to you. But yeah, we need to find that happy medium.
I know. I mean, hoping I'll let my number one seeded team speak for themselves.
You're gonna go behind that one. You might not be the number one seeded team after this. We started already. We're down on a slippery stretch slope. Yeah.
For all the listeners out there, the Honey Badgers, owned by yourself, are 5-1, and the Negatrons, my team, are 5-1 also.
They are. I mean, it's been nice, enjoyable friendship, but it's probably going to come to an end next week.
So this may be your last Pipe and Slippers podcast, particularly as a duo.
I can't edit, so there's a huge problem.
You want to just touch on Thursday night?
I think it'd be rude not to. I mean, I've had my own sort of thoughts on it, which we can, I think, maybe go into. But where's your head at on it? I mean, obviously you're not. I think I'm blinded a little bit because I have a rooting interest in the 49ers, and you're a little bit more, of an outside looking in. You were saying when you watched the Chargers a couple of weeks ago that was it a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
You kind of, for the first time in a long time, kind of was really, really emotionally involved in that moment.
Yeah, that was when they lost that last minute game to the Steelers, and I found myself getting a bit of the almost partisan blinkers on, and you start seeing decisions and plays the one
there's,
side.
There's pass interference.
And then the Thursday night game two nights ago, ended up watching the replay of it in Friday evening here, and admittedly I was in and out of sleep trying to watch it, as you do, so missed some bits but went back and caught up on it. And for me, the whole game, a lot of people talk about how it was summed up in the first drives. More importantly, Reggie Bush drops a little swing pass on third down from Kaepernick. On commentary, they actually said it was a bad throw, but it really wasn't. You've got to have receivers, running backs helping the team out. And I mean, that would have completely changed the very first series. Bush would have made an easy third down completion. The whole kind of momentum swiftly changed. Lynch pounds away and goes 7-up. So it was game over from there. I think the overall picture watching it is then Kaepernick, I just can't get the head around why when he throws some passes, just how bad they are. It's almost helping the fact that he's sailing them out of bounds. And I don't know if he's doing it intentionally, because he's probably, if you make a bad throw, you get picked off. He's throwing them so badly, it's actually making it safe for him. So it's a weird concern.
I've not really seen an awful lot of it. I've seen clips, to be honest, but I've heard that the right side of that line and the centre was getting absolutely annihilated by Bennett for the entire matchup. But I think it is, and I think it's interesting is that I think if you think about stuff, and because of the CBA, is it CBA? The agreement, whereby you can only practice and limited, and the type of practice you can do is limited. If you've been brought up in a spread offense running the pistol, where you're not asked to make NFL, reads whereby you're going through potentially up to three progressions and then back to your first read, when are you ever going to get really develop that? Because you're not going to develop that in the heat of the moment, are you?
No.
When I play golf today, right, and I have a lesson, and if I'm at the driving range, because it's a closed skill, I can practice on that individual. But the moment that I get up and play a round of golf, I can't. I'm trying to implement what I'm doing, but I'm not kind of consciously trying to do it. Does that make sense? In the sense, because how is he really going to develop those skills when everything's going at 100 mile an hour. I think you know, and especially like if you draft a QB, yeah, they're going to become slightly better, and but they're never going to be someone that they never were. You know, you're not going to turn, say, for example, I'm trying to think of a young quarterback that's not particularly mobile, but you look like Mettenberger, for example. Yeah. He's never going to be a run around, you know, running the, you know, read option zones, because that's not who he is. And I think you have to accept that Kaepernick is a spread offense, run the pistol, half field, predefined reads, and accept who he is. And if you can't accept who he is, then you got to move him up. Or find someone that accepts who he is and allow him to just be that. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I kind of know where I am in my own head with it. I struggle to kind of articulate it probably well enough.
I mean, to bring it back to the game specifically this week, you obviously mentioned it there on the stat line when we mentioned it earlier. No rushing yards for Kaepernick. There's nothing in the game plan, no plays for him to just run. The offense
I really
as a whole...
Do.
Sorry.
Go on. I was saying I really, really hope that they got Duke Chris to put all his belongings into a box and frog marched him out of the office for that one.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's... When it comes down to it, who, though... ultimately makes these decisions. You put it over to an offensive coordinator, but surely there's meetings, and is it Tom Sula not having anything to do with it? If he isn't having anything to do with it, how can he see his quarterback play like that and his offense play like that and him not implement some changes and try and do something about it? It's obviously always difficult from the outside in knowing who's really saying what and doing everything.
I mean, I honestly think that the way forward is, and I think it's going to take someone revolutionary to do it. But given the fact that all these guys in the college are running spread offenses that's a heavily predefined read, and there's a lot of bubble screens and a lot of handoffs, you know, and everything's just dumping off, they're not having to go through any sort of progression or anything. It's going to become a point where you're going to have to run a spread offense with a mobile running quarterback and almost have two guys that can run that. You know, I mean, I look around the league, and then I look at, say, Roethlisberger, and then they bring in Vic.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And then you're thinking, okay, well, you know, look around the other parts of the league, and you've got Tyrod Taylor, who's a kind of run around. Manuel's relatively close, but then... you know, got Kirk Cousins, and then you've got, what, RG3? I look around and I think to myself, surely you need to find almost two quarterbacks that can do that. So there's an insurance policy. Look, this is the way we're going to play. We're very unapologetic for the way we are going to play, but we're going to build the system around the quarterback. You can't build the quarterback around the system, which is the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see this week, it highlighted perfectly with the Titans. Obviously, when you have a high draft pick, you took the best quarterback available at the time. And this week, they happen to go back to Mettenberger with the injury to Mariota. So
yeah,
that massively changes how they scheme that one. And if they don't, they're going to struggle.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense at all. You either all in or you're not in at all. I mean, maybe it's just me, and because I'm heavily influenced by other sports I've personally been involved in, but I can't for the life of me understand it. It just needs flipping on its head completely. It really does.
Just as well, one final thought really about Tom Sula. Everybody thought he was going to be the right type of character to be a good head coach. He's a player's coach who everyone wants to play for. You see him on the sideline, it starts to go bad. There's nothing you see that situation. He's almost caught in the headlights, just chewing away, stomping up and ground, and not really doing anything, it seems. Not that motivating character that when he's an assistant and he's sat around the guys on the benches, talking to them and coaching them up, as the game goes on. It seems none of that's happening, and very odd now as a head coach. He just seems a bit lost.
He potentially could be a good head coach, but the problem that he needs is he is a guy that is going to rely heavily on his coordinators, massively so. But I also think as well that there's a massive drain of talent across the entire roster. And some of that's been unforeseen with, you know, injuries and retirements and stuff. But it does beg the question of how important the head coach is, doesn't it? You know, and that's also, you know, and let's be honest, let's be brutally honest. The 49ers were on the decline a little bit. You know, remember they had an 8-8 season with Harbaugh last year, who you know, everyone would, you know, I'm pretty sure 90% of the people would take him back in a heartbeat, if not more. But yeah, Harbaugh got out at a nice time, but at the same time, yeah, we all, you know, let's remember. We were after all sorts of top level coordinators that, you know, Shanahan potentially was rumored, and Gaze, I think, and Gaze even went for a head coaching interview, and we ended up promoting Cheap Crest from internally.
Yeah, a little bit odd situation. Now I got a bit of heat of this at the time, and it's still a long way to go in the season, and there's still be ups and downs going forward, but I just want to bring you back to a tweet I did in my Rudders one-liners before the start of the season. I got some abuse from Anthony Down Under when I said the Niners, they're not going to be as bad as most think they might be. They'll probably still prop up the division and will draft a QB. And now all the talk is that they might be having to draft a QB, so I'm just putting that one out there for everyone.
It's going to be fascinating because they've obviously got until April to cut him, haven't they?
Yeah.
So they've got right up until the draft. I think it's going to heavily depend on. I think if they keep the coaching staff that's in the building,
yeah,
I think they draft a QB.
Yeah.
I think if it's a complete sort of let's reset the, you know, the clock, let's you know, rip it all up and start again, I think they keep Cap because I think people are going to look at the arm talent and what he has done in the past. I mean, I said to you, still one of my favourite throws that I've ever seen in plays was the one he made in the NFC Championship where he's off the ground and he's rotating and throwing into the end zone. It's like, how does he even do that? So he's bags and bags of talent, and I'm not convinced it's not like RG3 where he's injured. I fail to believe it's just gone.
Yeah, if they were to clean house in the coaching side of things, get a coordinator that even matches Cap's skills, or every coach would like to come in and probably think they can fix him.
Yeah, I mean, take for example, I mean, someone I really like to see is like a, I mean, whether it would translate to the thing, but Art Briles at Baylor.
Yeah.
You know, he's running that spread, high-octane offense at the college ranks. What's the word? You know, if it blows up in our face, it blows up in our faces. But oh, there you go. There's the partisan in me, in our faces. But, yeah, I think I'd far prefer to see us go down that route and spend high draft picks on improving that O-line, improving the defensive line again and stacking up and see if we can regenerate Kaepernick, because all we're going to do is we draft a QB high. We're going to stick him behind now, which is one of the you know, a right side of the line, which is just, you know, like a sieve.
One other name I've just been thinking of as you scan the leagues, if you look at coordinators, obviously there's some big names in McDaniels and...
Jones, I like McDaniels, but, really do like him.
Obviously... Maybe Kyle Shanahan wouldn't leave after another first year with the team to be just another coordinator. Maybe he could be a head coach, but you imagine Kaepernick behind that scheme of Shanahan being able to do bootlegs and get into space to make throws, and then think about Carlos Hyde playing behind that type of
system. Oh, his own running, yeah. And I think the thing is, one of the things that Shanahan has proved himself to be is he whilst he has a scheme, he tinkers and adapts it to the strength of the QB. I mean, look at what those two did, him and his dad, with RG3. And I'd be fascinated if he just stayed fit, what they'd have been able to actually do with him.
It would almost be great to see the Niners move on after 1 year of Tom Sula, just to see what could happen as another almost experiment and change.
And another guy I like from the college ranks, and rather, and he runs a very different scheme, but it's still that, but it's back to the sort of Harbaugh days, and that's David Shaw at Stanford.
Yeah.
You know, you win the game in the trenches up front, power running game, and then you get tapped to make the big explosive play every now and again, as opposed to, you know, oh, we're going to put the offense on his back. Cap isn't that quarterback.
That's what you thought we saw from week one against the Vikings.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Three tight ends and having them all blocking for Hyde, and that lasted 1 week, and then not quite sure what happened to that. I've not seen three tight ends on the field at any one time since.
So. No.
Watch this space for all you Niners fans.
Yes, it's fascinating to see how it's all going to develop, because it's as we were talking on it, we said, you know, 3 years ago we had the Ravens and the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and how times change.
Very much so. But we are, speaking of time, all out of it for this week. And
That was beautiful.
We're getting better. I don't commit to them too well sometimes. I'm a bit hesitant with my links.
You should just, you know, just dangle it all out there for all to see. Be proud.
I'm very proud of my...
That was a penis gag, by the way.
bringing it back home to wrap it all up. We... Obviously, looking forward to week 7. We've got another game here in London. We'll hopefully be back with you next week if the video abuse hasn't started too early between the two of us in our pipe and slippers league, and we don't fall out.
I'm sure it'll be okay. We're well and truly past.
I mean, you're still talking to me after your two losses so far this year.
Yeah, well, we managed to get through almost the entire episode without you mentioning it. So,
well, it's obviously on the classifieds, but you weren't listening to that part. So, we should wrap up here. Enjoy your evening, and thanks for listening, downloading, streaming, watching. No, we don't watch this. I am at Stephen Rudkin on Twitter.
And I am at Roger M. Kirby. And the podcast is pipe_slippers.
Until next time.
But it just feels like this year, Matt's been giving us the finger the whole time. He hasn't made a move, hasn't touched his team. He didn't even attend the draft. That's the best bit. Come on, Matt. I'm seriously starting to consider your organisational skills. I mean, if you can't spend 5 minutes on your fantasy lineup, I'm starting to wonder whether you could organise a shag in a brothel. It's not that hard, Matt. You could do your fantasy lineup whilst you're sitting on the crapper. I know I do.
Oh, I've been sipping a tea.